MZTV.
Just when you thought you've heard everything, you come here and you get a new breakthrough revelation on MZTV. You hear things here from the depths of the bowels of spiritual revelation, all based on sound translating practices. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I have proof that Noah was in the body of Christ. Noah. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care if Paul hadn't been called yet. Because here's my proof, ladies and gentlemen. Genesis 6:8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Found grace. Follow me here. Didn't Paul teach an evangel of grace? Yes. Noah found grace. Okay. Noah's in the body of Christ. I'm sure you realize, my friends and viewers, that I'm being facetious. To reiterate my point from yesterday, you cannot look at transadministrational points that apply to both gospels and say that that proves that they are the same gospel. Back to the trumpets. There is a, I said the trumpet of Revelation is not the trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15. Some people get excited. Oh, I see a trumpet. I see a trumpet. Well, there's a trumpet that George Custer blew at the Battle of Little Bighorn to call his cavalry to war. There's also a trumpet that blows at the beginning of the Kentucky Derby. Right. Therefore, that is proof to me that the Kentucky Derby is the Battle of Little Bighorn. Yes. And that the Battle of Little Bighorn is the Kentucky Derby. All right, let's go back to Peter here. We learned yesterday something quite shocking that Peter didn't understand or found it hard to understand some things in Paul's gospel. That's because Peter had the baggage of Israel. Poor Peter. He did not quite get Paul. It was easier for a person of the nations to get Paul. It was either easier for a heathen, for a guy who was worshiping a lilac bush on Tuesday, to understand that he's complete in Christ on Wednesday because he didn't have the baggage. Peter had it. A person of the nations hears about grace, right? Picture this. Paul's bringing his gospel to those of the nations. He tells them, like, you guys are saved by total grace. You don't have to do anything. And they go, oh, okay, cool. Oh, okay, cool. That was the response of a Greek when told that he's complete in Christ, that he doesn't have to do any ceremonies, that he doesn't have to pray an hour a day, doesn't have to read his Bible, doesn't even have to perform good works. You're complete in Christ, and you are going to be with Christ for eternity because of the work of Christ on the cross. And the answer from a Greek to that great revelation is, oh, okay, cool. Oh, okay, cool. This is why I love, giving this evangel to non-religious people. Because the religious people fight it. They can't hear it because they have just as much baggage as Peter had. Their gospel is just as ridiculous and as encumbered with works and with self-imposed worthiness as Peter's, just as filled with it. They can't hear it. An Israelite hears it. An Israelite hears of it, hears that the nations are getting their socks blessed off, and he just can't, an Israelite can't imagine it. He says, huh? That's the difference in response between a Greek and a Jew. The Greek, when he hears about grace of God coming to unworthy people, says, oh, okay, cool. The Israelite, the Jew, the religious person says, huh? What? That's what they say when you tell them that God is the Savior of all humanity. That's what you tell them when you say that your message is not based on behavior. What? Because all their life, they're steeped in behavior. They're steeped in that your behavior determines your destiny. That's their whole thing. That's the thing, and it's a Jewish thing. That's where they got it. But instead of applying it only to the 1,000-year kingdom and the circumcision evangel, they apply it to for eternity. We're taking a specific message that Jesus gave to the Jews for entry into a 1,000-year kingdom, and we're going to make it eternity because we will swallow without inquiry, without question, a mistranslated scripture. Eternal separation from God, eternal misery, burned forever and ever, even though it's all wrong translations. Forever and ever, not in the Bible. Eternity is not even in the Bible. The word is aeon, has to do with the period of time. If you need a detailed step-by-step understanding of that teaching, go to YouTube, type in Martin Zender, and type in eons. I gave a two-part talk in Indianapolis last year on this topic. The Greek hears it and can't, or the Jew hears it and like, no, they can't believe it. Because their noses, the Jews' noses, are rubbed in stone their entire lives. They're forced into the Ten Commandments. They were raised doing ceremonies, sacrificing sheepies and lambies. And they were raised celebrating feasts and getting all the leaven out of their house on the day before the Sabbath. And they couldn't even pick up a stick on the Sabbath. They could only walk a certain distance on the Sabbath. And now Paul's telling people, yeah, you can run a marathon on the Sabbath. I don't really care. You can not only pick up sticks, you can build a freaking hut out of the sticks on the Sabbath. Because there's no such thing for you of the as the Sabbath. Can you imagine the Jews hearing that? No such thing as a Sabbath. There is for the Jews. But Paul says, let no one be your judge. This is Colossians chapter 2, I believe. Might be chapter 3. Read the whole book of Colossians. You'll find it. Paul says, let no one be judging you about certain days, certain festivals, certain things that they tell you you have to do. These people are freighted with baggage. They couldn't get a flight on Spirit Airlines without paying like an extra $1,000 for their bags. How appropriate that I just thought of using Spirit Airlines. I'll tell you what. Oh, the word Spirit. Yes, the word Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that causes Peter to understand his gospel, his own gospel, the circumcision gospel. It's the same Holy Spirit that causes Paul to understand his gospel. Therefore, it's the same gospel. No. Gasoline fuels your lawnmower. Gasoline also fuels your car. Are you going to mow your grass with your car? Are you going to drive your lawnmower north on I-95 between Fort Lauderdale and Palm Beach? It might take you a while. I suppose you could. But you can't mow your grass with your car. I'm sticking with that. So anyone, including Peter, anyone who is steeped in religion from birth, they have a very, very difficult time grasping grace. Now, and again, I keep mentioning that grace is a common word. It's a transadministrational word. Transadministrational means it applies to both administrations. But it's the difference between grace in Paul's gospel and the grace that was shown to Noah, which I started the show with. I was tricking you a little bit there. Wasn't I having a little fun? Is the amount of grace. Only in Paul's gospel will you read of the transcendent grace of God. That's a scriptural word. That word has been tried 7 times, put into the scriptures, and it's the amount of grace. Grace is the same. Grace doesn't change. Grace is grace. It's favor shown to those who deserve the opposite. It was a grace of God that let anyone stay true to the circumcision promises. It doesn't mean that their evangel was a grace-based evangel. It just, and grace and law don't mix. But it was grace that allowed some people to wait for the law. Grace allowed some people to even do the law or attempt it. So we're not watering down grace or putting grace into law. It's illicit to insist that that's what I'm doing or anyone else is doing. I'm just saying that grace allows both of them to do what they were called and meant to do. Just like gasoline fuels a lawnmower, fuels your car. Spirit filled Peter and Spirit filled Paul. The measure. Jesus Christ had the Spirit without measure. Did you know that same Spirit that's in Jesus Christ is in you? Well, how come I can't walk on water then, Martin? Because you don't have enough Spirit. That's why. You have it in measure. You even have faith in measure. God parts to each the measure of faith. Jesus Christ had Spirit without measure. That's why he could walk on water. That's why he could multiply the loaves and the fishes. That's why he could raise people from the dead, make the lame walk. We will one day have the same amount of Spirit. So when you see the word grace, although it is a transadministrational fuel, and Spirit is a transadministrational fuel, you must see that it's the amounts we're talking about here. And it's the fact that in Paul's gospel, grace is the centerpiece that we're talking about here. It's not absent from the circumcision gospel, but it's not the centerpiece. It's the enabler. And Spirit is still the fuel. This is what I used to do when I was a kid, like back in the early 90s when I was first coming into these truths. I used to try to talk to pastors about the grace of God, thinking that if I could get them to see the distinction, that they could go and tell their congregants. So I changed one guy, the pastor, and everybody in his congregation's going to get it. But I found out very quickly that trying to talk to a trained seminarian about the transcendent grace of God is like trying to describe a nuclear submarine to a deep sea mollusk. It's practically a waste of time. It's practically impossible because of that baggage. They're too steeped in law and grace. And again, today I would much rather teach this message of the grace of God to untrained people who still command their own brains and haven't joined the cult of Christianity. I tell these people about grace and they go, oh, really? Cool. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. And they fly away and the people in church hate them because misery loves company, you see. And the people who have bound themselves to these false apostles, otherwise known as Christian pastors, they hate to see people freed. They hate it. They hate to see people who are surviving and thriving apart from the institution because they themselves are stuck in the institution. The Jews hated to see the Greeks flying free. They're too free. I had to work hard for this. Now you're getting it. You're getting it apart from all the crap I had to do when I was a kid. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call it crap, says the Jew. I meant to call it all these wonderful things that I had to do. No, it's a complete resentment job. It's the 11th hour laborer who is pissed that the guy who comes in at the last hour gets the same wage, even though God promised him that, or the landholder promised him a certain wage. I gave you what I promised you. Why do you resent what I do with what is mine? Grace is God's. Spirit is God's. He can do what he wants with it. Tomorrow, we're going to find out that Paul has a unique gift that Peter doesn't have. And I'll tell you what that is tomorrow.